overcoming them. How do we do it? Through Scripture, by Scripture, guided by Scripture. How do we do it? And it can be done. Say with me, it can be done. Say it one more time. It can be done. It can be done. And I'm going to just take us back to the beginning scripture for our study on this series in Hebrews chapter 4. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at the first verse of that chapter. Glory to God. That's where we found what I believe the Lord wants to launch the New Testament church into. We often refer back to characters and people in the Old Testament, but they are examples of how to be the people of God, but they are not examples of how to abound in the kingdom of God. They were children of God by God's choice. Hallelujah. And when we were brought in to the body of Christ, they were made his children. We were made parts of his body. The children of Israel have no boast in that one thing. They cannot say that we are part of the body of Christ. Amen. That is not as a matter of being connected with Abraham. In fact, many of them in this generation, and some of you may have heard some of the news of late where the president kind of gone on record regarding Jerusalem and declaring it to be the capital of Israel. And while we understand from a political and very much so from a historical perspective that that's kind of stirring in the hornet's nest. That's going to be some challenging times ahead of us. But from a kingdom perspective, we know that God is actually moving to bring Israel as his chosen people back to the place that they must call Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is, while we're looking at it and saying, you know, here goes the president doing something off again and just getting on everybody's nerve, I think that people who know the Bible need to say, prophecy is just being fulfilled. Amen. That these things must come to pass, and whether they come to pass by the right motive or the wrong motive, if God has spoken, hallelujah, and God has spoken, glory to God. And the thing about it is, while there are people who are part of the nation of Israel who might be essentially dancing in the streets, but if we understand Bible prophecy, they will be crying in the streets before it's all over. And this is not because someone is saying that he's disrupting something politically, but you know, God has always had a way to incite things. God has always done that. He incited Pharaoh. He stirred Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would hold the people of God captive. But God wanted to show himself strong, glory to God, and deliver by a mighty hand. But if Pharaoh had just well, yeah, y'all been here a while. Y'all can go. If that had happened, that wouldn't have been a mighty hand. And Pharaoh would have been able to take the credit for it. But when God got through with him, glory to God, hallelujah, that was an uncle case. You know, maybe y'all don't know about uncle, but I remember getting beat when I was a little boy. I was skinny, you know, not all of that now, but I was skinny, glory to God, and small, and that was the word. Do you say uncle? Do you cry uncle? That means, do you give up? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Pharaoh had to give up. Now, he changed his mind, but he didn't know he was changing his mind so that God could show himself even stronger. He's an exceeding and abundantly and above all God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Let's go to this. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. If you have that, would you say amen? The word says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, miss it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. And what we have right now is the privilege to mix the word with faith. I want to just kind of give in a summary of what I'm going to be talking about tonight and then try to carry us on a little journey through the word. The way we overcome losses and failures is to take the word and mix it with faith. Now, what is faith? Now, most of us just simply quote the scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, let me take you a little further and provide, hopefully, a Reader's Digest version of what faith is in light of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtain a good report. Faith is confidence and assurance. Glory to God. In the word of God that is synonymous with his promises. Glory to God. So how do I overcome failures? How do I overcome losses? It's by faith. And faith is confidence and assurance in what God has promised. Amen. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith, praising God, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, what God had what? Promised, he's able to perform it. Now, just a little review. Let's do a little review. Because the emphasis in the introduction was on the first way, the first step or the beginning, if you would, of overcoming failures and losses. First of all, I tried to make sure that it was clear that not having failures and not having losses is not a human possibility. And I want it to be clear that it is not even a human need. I'll let that sink in a moment. That is, never having them is not a need. What is a need is the wherewithal to overcome them. And the wherewithal to be victorious even in spite of them. One of the greatest stories or verses in the Bible that talks about overcoming losses and failures. Probably maybe a verse that you don't really think about it in that respect, but it has everything to do with it. It says, but the last shall be first. Hallelujah. And the first shall be last. Fret not thyself because of the one that prospers in their way. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Because we are not victorious just because all the pieces are coming together. Real victory is when our lives begin to model the God kind of victory. Now, I'm going to take you back to the scriptures that we dealt with. We're going to start with Joshua chapter 21. I'm going to deal with Joshua 21, Joshua 23, and 1 Kings 8. We'll start with those. Because I made a statement that I think needs to be reiterated in the introduction. And that statement is, there is no failure in God, and there are no losses with God. No failures, no losses. When you go back to the book of Genesis, and you see Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void. It became without form, became void. Darkness moved upon it. Then the Spirit of God, and here's something, let's just put a little pin right there. Romans chapter 14 reminds us that the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God are pretty much synonymous. So when the Spirit of God moves into a matter, the kingdom of God is coming. So when you pray, thy kingdom come, it's the Spirit of God moving into the matter. Kingdom means lordship, authority, the capacity to rule, God moving into the matter and showing himself as supreme, having the ability to make the difference and do what needs to be done. That's the kingdom of God. The earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But kingdom got activated. Glory to God. Kingdom got activated. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God changed chaos into order. And began to create. To create. To create. To create. To create. What did he do? not trying to really get into the creation story, but he literally, through every act where he said, "Let there be light," he was restoring order. Glory to God. Restoring order, creative power, kingdom at work. See, all that was at work in the beginning was earth. All that was at work in the beginning was the natural. And Satan was able to disrupt the natural. But when the kingdom came, glory to God, and the kingdom put back into order everything that Satan's fall had thrown out of order. God did it. God did it. So, here is God reminding us. He's reminding us that I don't lose and I don't fail. Loss, for the most part, is the inability to stop something from being taken from you. Failure is the inability to stand consistently in a place of victory over adversaries. God was never in a position where the enemy had the upper hand. Never. He was never there. In fact, Satan rose up and took a large part of the heavenly host with him to fight against God. And God didn't even move off his throne. He just dispatched angelic beings. Glory to God. And the chaos was brought back into order. And the devil, who couldn't fall. I want you to hear me again. The devil, who couldn't fall. He was an angel, a cherub. The devil, who couldn't fall, became the first example of fall. And Jesus said, "I saw him falling from heaven like lightning." So God made it clear, no, I don't fail. And I don't lose. And think, God never is caught off guard. He knows everything. He even knows what the devil's thinking. He knows what the devil's playing. So nothing the devil does can God be caught off guard and not ready for it. In fact, before he ever created Lucifer, he knew what Lucifer would do. Son of the morning. Because he's an all-knowing God. As an all-knowing God, never caught by surprise. Never caught off guard. Sees the end while he's still at the beginning. That's our God. Anyone armed with all power, all knowledge, and what's the other one? And all present. Everywhere present. Anyone who has all three of those going for him, you can't fail, you can't lose. Anybody's got that. If you've got it, then that's going to be you, and you must not be a human being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you must be you must be, you know, you must be up there with God. But God made Lucifer where he had the wherewithal to fly or to be unbound by gravity and its pull. God did that. Glory to God. God did that. But then God took it away from him. And he couldn't even stay in heaven. But it was a God thing that when he fell from heaven to the earth, he didn't just disperse and break up. You know why? God wanted him to hold together because he had another place for him. Hallelujah. God's got another place for him. That's another subject. That's another message. Well, let's look at this. Joshua described God in terms of his dealing with them like this. There fail not. I'm in Joshua 21:45. There fail not aught, which means any, of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. Now look at that. He said, what one good thing that God said to us failed? All of it came to pass. All of it came to pass. Can I say that again? All of it came to pass. The good thing. God's good things don't fail. God's good things don't what? Fail. I know that it is important that we rightly divide the word. Think a little further down the road about this time when Elijah went to a brook, and the Bible says the brook dried up. Now, can I just tell you something? How do we reconcile that? This is how I reconcile it. The good things that God promised and provide, they come to an end, but they do not fail. Just let that sink. They come to an end, but they do not fail. So now, wait a minute now. That seemed like failure to me. God never intended for Elijah to spend the rest of his life at that brook. And I want to just tell you something. As you walk with God, shout about that. Don't feel bad and get depressed. Good things, they don't fail. They do come to an end. They have, God says on one occasion, I know the plans that I have for you. Is that what he said? Plans. What is the word now? Plans. All right. Let me give you something about plans. Let me give you something about plans. And plans. See this chair? This chair. This chair has has fabric on it. It's got fabric on the back, fabric on the bottom. But it didn't come made with just this much. There was more fabric than this. But for it to meet its purpose, it didn't fail. They cut it to fit. So it would have ends to be sewed and tucked into place. I'm trying to tell y'all something, that when God let things end in your life, he's not messing it up. He's making it fit. And this we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Lift your hearts and lift your mind and say, Lord, make it fit. Make it fit. Make it fit. Glory to God. And I know sometimes tears will stream down your eyes and say, oh, look like this just going to waste. No, he's trying to make something else fit. Oh, I know sometimes when there's a person in your life and there's some circumstances in your life and you say, oh, it looks like it's just coming to end too soon. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm making it fit. One more time. Lift your hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, make it fit. Because he's got some things that they're going to come to an end. Remember, after he left the brook, he went to a widow woman's house. If he had stayed at the brook, he never would have gotten to the widow woman's house. And if he had never gotten to the widow woman's house, she would have missed her miracle and the famine would have killed her. But God intended for the famine, for the miracle to come in her life, so the miracle could sustain her and sustain the man of God, because he didn't want the man to die in it either. Because it was not that the brook dried up, because God fail. The brook dried up because God was actually doing what he had planned. You know why there was a famine? God sent it. There was a famine because God sent the famine. And the famine that God sent had no water in it. It shut up heaven. There was no rain. So if there's no rain, there was no place for the brook to get water. God did that. It was all part of his plan. He didn't fail. He had a plan. He didn't fail. He had a plan. He was ready for this. Are you hearing me? And so, I'm just trying to remind you, child of God, that good things from God, they do come to an end. They don't fail. There's a scripture we quote. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll be glad and what? Rejoice in it. Who made the day? God made the day. And the devil can make a lot of things, but he can't make a day. And since God made the day, God gets glory out of everything he made. The devil gets no glory out of the day because he didn't make the day. It ain't his day. Every day is God's day. He made the day. And God in the beginning looked at the day and the night and divided them up and said it was good. But every day, every good day comes to an end. It doesn't fail. It just comes to an end. We need it to come to an end. Why? Because you don't get mourning if the day don't end. Hallelujah. That seems overly simplified, but it is the truth. You don't get mourning if the day doesn't end. And you know one of the good things that happens every morning? Every morning we get some new mercies. I don't want the day to keep going, because if the day were to keep going, I wouldn't get the mercies that I need that are going to arrive in the morning. Joshua 23:14. Let's look there real quickly. Not one thing has failed. That's what he said. Verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He said, I'm getting ready to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your soul that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. He said, you know this. Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed. Now, take me over to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. He called these good things. He refers to these as the things spoken by God concerning them. Good things spoken by God, what are they? Good words are his good promise. Our promises. Look at this. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. All that he promised. It's God's commitment to our future. It's God's word about our future, a promise. All his promises. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. In other words, what we're reading here takes us back to Joshua 23, takes us back to Joshua 24, 21, takes us back to Joshua chapter 1, and takes us back to the book of Deuteronomy. God made promises, and he kept those promises. And I want to tell you, the promises of God in the New Testament, they are still yea and amen to the glory of God. They do not fail. They do not fail. Now, Here's what I want to try to help you to see. Things, if I were to say, this is a promise of God. This is the embodiment, this chair, like the embodiment of the promise of God. Just think of that. Now, if I had something, I don't see anything that I could really use now, but if I, you know, if I had something, you know, that I want to, you know, let's see here. I get a little paper here, so you know, maybe I can illustrate my point here. You know, so you got this paper here, and this is something that God has placed on His promise. This, you know, this is something that I know that God sent, and it's a part of the promise. It's on the promise of God. It's connected to the promise. But this thing connected to the promise can be moved off. It can be looking, if that's what you wanted, you know, that design of what I got done. So, oh, yeah, that's the way I want it. It can be crushed by the weight of something. Things that come into your life because of the promises of God, see them as benefits, but they are not in and of themselves the promise. Benefits sometimes don't survive attacks and weights and trouble. But when all else is said and done, the promise is unaltered. The benefit got messed up, but the promise is still intact. Sometimes we get just all upset because of something that was on the promise, came to pass because of the promise, gets stolen. Glory to God. Don't lose your mind over that stuff. Just know the God who gave you the benefit can replace that with another one. So how does that work? Well, let me give you one example of how it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll work. I believe that'll work. In the Bible, I want you to see this as like ground, soil. When God makes a promise, the harvest, we say, comes in. and the seed comes up. I want you to see the harvest, the seed. He gives seed to the sower, and the seed comes from a previous harvest. Are we together? I want you to see that as a benefit of the ground. As long as I got ground, glory to God, I can get another harvest. As long as I've got a promise, the benefit can be restored. Glory to God. Because really, to be honest with you, God told the man of God, I'm going to sustain you throughout this famine. And when he got to the brook, he commanded a raven to feed him there, and he was sustained throughout the promise. Throughout the he was sustained throughout the famine. Did we get lost? Lord have mercy. Y'all working me hard tonight. He was sustained throughout the famine. Why? How? Not because he had a raven, because he had a promise. And then the same God that commanded the raven commanded the widow woman. I'm just trying to tell you, don't get shaken by the brook, the raven, or anything else. Because when God got a need for a widow woman, he'll use a widow woman. And when God gets through and he says this time related to the widow woman has ended, God can just send rain again. I'm just trying to tell you, don't get tied to the stuff. Be tied to the promise. No matter what's going on in your life, remain committed to confidence in what God says. That's faith. That's faith. That's what? That's faith. God gives us a human body, puts it in the earth. Then with that body could come ailments. Right? But what does God give? What has he given? He's given a promise. He's not the Lord who won't let us get sick. He is the Lord who heals us. Don't get thrown off by what grows on top of the ground. Just make sure you still stay with the ground, the promise, because that's where your victory is. Hallelujah. Now, this man of God, oh, yes, he did. He says, what God has said has not failed. Not one word of it. And what were these? Promises. Let me just give this to you. God doesn't have to give us every desire of our heart. God doesn't have to give us everything that we want. God doesn't have to give to us everything that we desire of him. But what he does have to do, he has to keep his promises. I love the illustration that Pastor Michael Scott used years ago. It's a good illustration. You know, if you want me to give you $5,000, or if you wanted me to give you $5,000, and you ask me for $5,000, and I tell you, well, I don't think I'm going to be doing that. And you say, now, I believe you got it. And you just not letting me have it. You promise to be nice to me. You promise to be kind to me. To be courteous. Yes. But I didn't promise you $5,000. Sometimes people try to hold God to things that they want, but he never promised. Because if he didn't promise it, he doesn't owe it. But if he promised it, it won't fail. And one of those things he said, as long as the earth stands, there'll be seed time and harvest time. That's a promise. I don't care what happened. It'll never, ever stop. God did that. Who did it? God did it. I need to close this up because I'll keep it going. Plans fail. Purpose always succeeds, and promises never fail. Our plans sometimes fail, but God's purpose never fails. It's always established. Glory to God. So how do you overcome? The greatest way to overcome is never let your faith take a nosedive. Maintain your faith and your confidence and your assurance in what God has promised. Abraham, last 60 seconds, Abraham's body, in terms of production, reproduction, was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But promise woke him up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I want to tell you something. It might be dead, but if there's a promise out there, I'm talking about a divine promise. A divine promise will wake it up. A divine promise will tell life, you got to come back in here. A divine promise will not let there be a tombstone And even if there is a tombstone, a divine promise will have them rolling away the stone and calling that Lazarus out of that grave. Come on out of there. Even if he has to be jumping out of there, bound hand and feet, getting up. Because promise got him up. Stop looking for just the desires of your heart. Lord, I got to finish this book. I got to finish this book. I got to finish this book. Before I go to be with the Lord, I'm going to finish that book. The subject is a promise-driven life. I got to finish it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Purpose-driven is a reason for being. Promise-driven is a divine makeup, something divinely set in motion that cannot fail. Man's purposes can fail, but a promise that's from God ain't possible. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to God. Lift your hands to God. Oh, thank you. God, on this first Wednesday, we came hungry for something from you that will revolutionize our minds, our thoughts, our desires. Ah, and thank you for the word. Thank you for impartation. Yes. And Father, I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will cause your people to abound more and more. This is good from you. This is great from you. This is power from you. This is victory from you. Thank you, Lord. And we make the decision to find our way back into the scriptures to find the promises of God. You've spoken good over our lives. And even before we were born, you made some commitments about us. The devil cannot frustrate your promises. He cannot undermine your promises. Hallelujah. And we make the decision, whatever it takes, we are not going to end up missing the seat and falling on the ground. We're not going to come up short. We're going to mix the promise, the word that we heard, with faith, assurance, and confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you. And we bless you. And we praise you. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise, everybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. God, we bless you. God, we bless you. And we thank you for what's coming and what shall be and what you have established in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. To God be the glory for the good that he has done. Amen.